First, a new documentary examines the potentially life-changing opportunities of a new gene-editing technology called CRISPR. Human Nature is airing on PBS's science series Nova next Tuesday on PBS Wisconsin. That's September 15th at 7 and 11 p.m. And tonight at 6 and 11 p.m. on Milwaukee PBS. The film explains the history behind CRISPR, which gives scientists the ability to alter DNA in a targeted way. CRISPR can change the parts of cells that cause genetic diseases, opening up the option of a potential cure for many patients. It also allows us to change other aspects of our DNA, reviving a debate about what science allows us to do and what we ought to do. Adam Bolt is director and writer of the new documentary Human Nature, which tackles the history, the science, and the ethics of CRISPR. Adam, thanks a lot for being with us.
Hi, Rob. Great to be here.
And Alta Charo is a professor of law and bioethics at UW Law School. She is featured in that documentary. Alta, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Well, Adam, a lot of people have heard a lot about CRISPR, this really exciting new technology. I learned from your documentary, from the microorganism perspective, this is a really prehistoric thing. That's part of the exciting story about this discovery, right? We found this in nature.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually billions of years old, so it's new as far as humans knowing about it, but it's existed in nature for a very long time. Over the past few decades, scientists became aware of it, figured out what it does, figured out how to harness part of it that can act as a sort of molecular scissors and cut DNA in a very targeted way, and they've turned it into a tool for gene editing.
And Adam, that targeting is the key part of this story. Before that, scientists could look at our genetic code, kind of know what did what. But when they tried to edit it, it was like, I don't know, trying to type on a keyboard wearing oven mitts. They couldn't necessarily make genes change where they want them. That was the big revolution of CRISPR, right?
That's right. It was possible in some circumstances to make targeted changes, but it was very expensive. It was very difficult. And it took many, many times longer. Something that, might have taken years before can be done in months or weeks with CRISPR.
I want to give a listen to the documentary with Jennifer Doudna, a biochemist at UC Berkeley, whose research into RNA helped lead to the discovery of CRISPR. Here's a listen.
It was clearly a useful tool, and initially I was thinking about it that way, right? Because, I'm a biochemist, right? I was thinking about it as a tool. I was thinking about all the cool experiments you could now do with this tool, right? I was thinking about that. I wasn't thinking about, oh, my gosh, I mean, this is a tool that, it fundamentally allows us to change our relationship with nature. It actually allows us to change human evolution if we want to.
Alta, can you explain a little more about the potential uses for this tool, this gene editing tool?
Sure. Interestingly, what people don't tend to talk about are the uses that will probably be the most common, and that's going to be agriculture. It's going to be changing plants so that they can resist drought or flood, or to change animals so that they don't produce as many greenhouse gases or waste that invades our environment. And that's probably where a lot of the money is going to be. But the big excitement for public discussion has been for human therapeutics. The film begins with the story of a young man with sickle cell, which is a terrible disorder that will shorten your life and be incredibly painful when you have sickle crises. But now with CRISPR, we're looking at the possibility of going into the human body, taking out cells that have genetic problems, treating them with this technique so that you can actually insert a normal version of the gene, and then putting the cells back in the body where they proliferate, and suddenly this person no longer suffers from sickle cell. That's one of the things that people are talking about. It's not just sickle cell, it's eye diseases, it's some cancers. These are already in clinical trials. The most controversial use, the one that's probably the least likely to be needed because other options exist, is to edit a human embryo when it's sitting outside the body if you've biopsied the embryo and discovered a terrible mutation that would be a disease when the child is born. But editing the embryo has enormous technical challenges that would have to be overcome before you'd even begin to think about whether you think it's a good idea or a bad idea, unethical or ethical to use it. So The one that everybody talks about, the designer babies, is the one that's probably the least important in terms of actual use.
You make an interesting point in the documentary, Alta. In effect, you say people are concerned that we might do horrible things with gene editing. You point out that we humans do horrible things of equivalent scales with the technology we already have. Gene editing might allow us to do them a little differently, but it doesn't add anything that new in some ways. Can you talk about that?
Well, it does add, what it adds is, as Adam was saying, is precision. And ease. And so in a sense, you can ask, what are the ethical implications of efficiency? If something that was hard to do before is not in fact done very often, but now it becomes easy, does that mean you should anticipate that everybody's going to want to use it? So that's an ethical issue that arises only because things are simpler. The point I wanted to make in the film is simply that we've had over the last 50, 60 years, almost every decade, a new innovation that makes something easier in human reproduction that has the potential for abuse. Genetic screening of people for their carrier status, then it was the screening of the actual fetus, then it was the screening of the embryo, and along the way also the ability to pick sperm donors or surrogates. And every one of these advances came with a fear that it would become so popular that we were going to start treating children as commodities, as in expect perfection, that we would no longer tolerate our spouses as imperfect as they are. And reassuringly, every one of those advances, which made those things easier, didn't actually result in those things. We tend to stick to things that are more emotionally satisfying.
We're talking Go ahead.
I was going to say, my view is, my hope is that we're going to have exactly the same experience with CRISPR.
Dr. Alta Charo, bioethicist at UW Law School, and Adam Bolt, director and writer of the new documentary, Human Nature. Adam, was this a complicated story to try to tell in a documentary format? Because this is some pretty technical material here.
Yeah, I mean, we spent over 3 years working on the film, and we also made our lives a little more difficult in that we chose not to use a narrator for the film. We really wanted the film to be told almost as kind of an oral history or something, like through the voices of the scientists and people like Alta Charo, who are, you know, looking at the ethical implications of this. We wanted it to be in their words, from their perspective, without a kind of voice of God coming in and telling you, you know, what to think. So that meant, you know, getting all of this stuff explained by the scientists who invented it, which was a challenge. But luckily we had an incredible artist to bring the world of CRISPR and DNA and all this stuff that happens inside the cell with this technology to bring it to life in a really incredible way.
Alta, we've talked to you in the past about setting ethical guidelines and in some cases legal guidelines for the use of technologies like this. Who out there in the world is getting together and trying to make the decisions that are going to guide what scientists and governments and corporations can do with this kind of technology?
Well, within the United States, for human applications like the cancer therapies, or even more science fiction-y in the future, the germline editing for embryos, the relevant authority is the Food and Drug Administration. The manipulations, the genetic manipulations of the cells, turn them into a regulated, what they call it, a regulated article. And it means that you have to get permission before you can even try doing clinical trials. And the clinical trials are also overseen by local ethics advisory boards. And only when you've done enough trials and shown enough safety and effectiveness will the FDA hear a request to now be able to sell it on the market. Other countries tend to have a similar system. What we don't have is a single global government that says all countries must follow the same rules. So we're likely to see some variations, especially with the things that involve human reproduction, where the cultural attitudes vary tremendously from country to country.
We're talking to Adam Bolt, director and writer of the new documentary Human Nature, and Alta Charo, professor of law and bioethics at UW Law School, talking about the new documentary and the ethics and the technology and the potential for CRISPR, this gene editing technology. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been following the story of CRISPR and its potential uses? What questions do you have? Do you have concerns about it or hopes about it to cure potential diseases, maybe for you or someone in your family. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our talk with Adam Bolt, filmmaker behind the new documentary Human Nature, and Alta Charo, professor of law and bioethics at UW Law School. She's featured in that documentary. We're talking about the gene editing technology of CRISPR, what it can do, what it might do in the future, and concerns about it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What have you heard about potential uses of the CRISPR gene editing technology? Do you think there needs to be careful regulation and thought about how it gets used? Have you seen this documentary yet? It has aired some already. And do you have questions about how all this stuff works, what we can do with it, what we could do with it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Adam, a point that's made right at the outset in the documentary, you go back to an older scientific speech, putting this in perspective. By in the human scale and the global scale, this is incredibly new. I mean, theory of evolution was just in the 1800s. Genetics came a while after that. This is just like an eye blink in human history, this huge change. Did you get that sense from the scientists you talked to?
Well, I mean, what was interesting to me, you referenced that clip that we started with, which is Robert Sinsheimer speaking in the mid-1960s. And, you know, in a lot of ways, he was asking them the same questions that we're asking now. Which is, you know, where is this all headed? And, you know, in some ways we've come a long way since the 1960s. And as we've been talking about, CRISPR makes things easier, makes things faster, makes some things possible that weren't possible before. But at the same time, there's so much we still don't know. There's so much we're still not capable of. So, yeah, we definitely wanted people to kind of take in this more far-reaching perspective on human history and where this kind of change might fit into it.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jay is with us in Minocqua. Jay, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Jay?
I have a question for Professor Alta Charo, and that is, given the complexity as we look into the future, should there be some sort of oversight body in addition to the FDA, particularly given that there has been some significant controversy about the FDA's objectivity with respect to the vaccine and the pandemic?
Well, first, by way of transparency, I should tell you that I used to work at the FDA. So to some extent, they're still my guys. So I'm rooting for them. I think that the FDA is certainly not the only part of the regulatory picture, and that's as it should be. They're there to look at safety and effectiveness. That's it. They're not there to make moral judgments about what is good or bad for society. That happens at the political level, at the state level, state laws that sometimes make this research illegal or fund it, at the federal level, where, again, they can either ban it or they can fund it or they can let it be legal but not provide money for it. And these are all political choices that are made. And at that point, you bring in the whole apparatus of democracy to help figure out whether or not you want certain applications to be permitted.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jay, at 800-642-1234. Adam, I want to get into something that Alta was talking about earlier. We think mostly when we think about genetic editing about humans, she was talking about agriculture. Can you share some of what you came across in creating this documentary when it came to genetics and non-human species?
Yeah, well, we talk a little bit in the film about some of the possibilities to use CRISPR to change both agricultural species and in some cases wild species to better adapt them to the changes that we're seeing in our climate. So for example, we have a scientist at Syngenta, which is based in North Carolina, a company that's jumped on the CRISPR bandwagon and creating corn that has a change that allows it to tolerate drought and absorb moisture and retain moisture better. We also talk a little bit about a project that's in the very, very early stages looking at coral bleaching, which is this problem where as the water gets warmer, these algae that live inside the coral and give the coral nutrients get expelled in the warm water, and it causes the coral to die. And they're looking at ways that maybe they can actually alter the DNA of the coral to adapt it to these warmer temperatures. So there's a lot of on the cultural side, that's where genetic engineering, that's where all the action really was until fairly recently, and that's certainly going to continue. And then we have this whole new possibility opening up of perhaps considering changes to just wild species in nature to protect them.
Alta, can you talk about the ethics of that some? Because I know even with existing forms of genetically modified plants, for example, there are concerns about unintended consequences. We can't always know if we make genetic changes in a species how it's going to work in the wild. What kind of concerns does that raise?
Well, there's been a lot of concern about the ecosystem being disturbed. If you were to alter a particular plant or an insect, what are the ripple effects down the line? And it's for that reason that there's also research going on very actively to look at how you can control changes, how you can reverse changes, how you can make other changes that will basically balance out the ones that you made, so that you build in a set of safeguard techniques that allow you to take more risks. I've got neighbors down the street who have a trampoline. Trampolines are often very, very dangerous, but they put a net around the whole thing, and it made it a lot safer for the kids so that the kids could jump higher. And that's pretty much what we're trying to do, or what the scientists are trying to do with CRISPR. And particularly when they use it not to make a permanent change, but to make temporary changes, something called epigenetics, which is reversible. And that really adds a whole new layer of safety when it comes to your concern about unintended effects on the ecosystem.
Talking to Alta Charo from UW Law School, bioethicist there, and Adam Bolt, creator of the new documentary Human Nature, looking at genetic editing technology, CRISPR in particular, its potential and concerns it's raised. Adam, one of the chapters of your documentary is called Playing God, and you looked into some theological concerns people had about this. What kind of things did you hear along those lines?
Well, actually, I would say a couple of our chapters, one is called Playing God, one is called Brave New World. We kind of wanted to investigate and in some cases poke a little bit of fun at these tropes that exist, that you always hear about, especially about biotechnology. In the film, we don't get that deeply into the theological debate. I mean, as Alta said earlier, there are a lot of different views across cultures and religions about reproduction and when life begins and, what kind of limits we should place on this technology. But a big thing that we wanted to remind people of is the ways that humans have been, quote unquote, playing God for millennia. And we use the example of agriculture going back 10,000 years or more to the domestication of crops and livestock, and what an enormous change that represented in the history of life on Earth, which you could kind of argue that the first farmers were, in a sense, the first genetic engineers. Obviously agriculture has changed the whole planet, huge swaths of the planet are now given over to crops and animals. So this isn't the first time that humans, through curiosity, through wanting to change their environment, have embarked on something that might be called playing God.
And Alta, last time you joined us on this show, it was talking about a chapter that gets told in the documentary, a Chinese researcher who had gone ahead and made some edits in human embryos. In our last couple of minutes, I want to talk about the idea that, okay, we might have all the great policies and rules in the works. What about somebody going rogue like that in some ways and doing things that maybe the rest of the world doesn't want to see happen?
Well, the reality is that you can't have 100% control, and there will always be the risk of rogue actors. We see that no matter how strong our criminal laws are, you still have people manage to be criminals. But right now, among other efforts, the World Health Organization has an advisory committee, again, transparency, I'm on this thing, which is looking at global governance options to strengthen the ability of countries to help one another govern it. And it includes looking at the possibility of creating some kind of so-called whistleblower mechanism, a place that scientists can go when they have a hint that there may be something going on that's not very good, not responsible, and a place where they can go and talk about it and maybe have, you know, a small group address this by, you know, reaching out to the person who's perceived as a rogue and trying to catch these things before they get too far. It's turning out to be very tricky, but we're actively looking at ways we might accomplish that.
Alta, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
That was a pleasure. Thank you.
And Adam, thanks a lot for sharing this with us.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Alta Charo is a professor of law and bioethics at UW Law School. She's featured in the new documentary Human Nature. She talked to us about the ethical questions surrounding gene editing. And Adam Bolt is the director and writer of that documentary, Human Nature. You can catch it on PBS's science series Nova next Tuesday, September 15th at 7 and 11 p.m. on PBS Wisconsin, or tonight at 6 and 11 p.m. on Milwaukee PBS. Also check it out on PBS streaming platforms.